Other horns don't.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Don't let them play against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tom, we're back talking things to watch for spring drills. This time we're going to talk defense. Kick us off. What's your first thing to watch? What's Tom looking for on defense?
Well, this is not going to answer your question because this is not a thing. Okay, this is a thing to watch. I can't wait to watch to see if C.J. Mosley really came back to the Alabama football team. How do you like that?
No, I do like that. You know,
come on, say what the listeners want us to say. That was just as important as A.J. McCarron coming back.
Oh, without question. You know, the A.J. and the C.J. coming back, you know, of critical importance. I'm convinced that he could have been a top 15 pick. What's so valuable about him, you know, to our team is his ability to stay in and play against the spread offenses that permeate college. Well, guess what? That spread kind of play with the zone read and such and running quarterbacks, that's starting to matriculate into the NFL. And so if you have a linebacker that kind of specializes in stopping that, why would teams not want that?
Oh, absolutely. And what Saban did last year, which was just – ingenious, is he was able to work CJ in to being in more and more three down situations. And so now it should be kind of a natural transition for him to be an every down player this year.
Yeah, here's the most insane stat that I've come across in I guess in a while. So we had a pretty stout defense last year. CJ Mosley had 48 more tackles than any other of our defensive players. And he was, I would say, a part-time player. He was a situational, and you know, maybe situational is cutting it too thin, but he was not a three and four down back or our linebacker.
No, absolutely, man. And just another stat for you there. He had 107 total tackles. And I know you can compare that to his Notre Dame counterpart, who did play three downs every series, but his 107 tackles was the most total tackles by a defensive player in all years under Saban at Alabama.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, and to compare Mosley to Teau is really laughable when you look under the hood at the stats. If you just look at the totals, you say, well, you know, Teau, you know, edged him out. But look at the snap differential and then tell me who, you know, who was more productive and more efficient with their play. And then, you know, of course, then there's always just the game-to-game matchup, which, you know, is what it was. But, yeah, I think, you know, if we can go out there and see that, you know, that he
I want to make sure he's real, man. I want to make sure he's not like Norm's wife on Cheers. I want to make sure he's the real – if it's really him and not an imposter – man, I'm going to be very excited about that.
All right. So the Alabama Football Podcast Defensive Edition brought to you by the Tommy Comedy Hour.
No, I had to start with that because I just had to give, and I should have started with AJ on offense because those two guys didn't have to come back.
No, they didn't.
And so, you know, we need to send like a thank you card to their parents because their parents raised them the right way to get your education first and everything else will follow.
Yep.
And so, but staying with C.J. Mosley for a second, the other question that jumped out at me is, as important as it is that he came back, it's equally important that he came back to hopefully help us bring a C.J. successor for the year after he's gone.
Okay.
Because we got a lot of young linebackers.
We got some pups, man. We've got some pups.
We got a lot of young linebackers and who, to your point of how that's becoming increasingly more and more of an important thing for linebackers to possess, who on the current team, if anybody, could be that next person in his shadow, if you could even stand in his shadow, you know, after he's gone?
Well, there's some candidates. I think I really like Denzel Duvall.
I'm going to say, don't say Tana Patrick, man.
I'm not sure that he's, I think he has a little different skill set. He reminds me a little bit more of Hightower. I'm going to go for the true, you know, athleticism and skill set that I think Mosley brings to the table. I think Ryan Anderson's probably still a little bit big, although I'd really like, I really look forward to seeing him. I'm going to say, of the guys on the roster, I'm going to go Reggie Ragland.
Okay. I would argue that on the current roster, there's not anybody.
Well, okay. So you baited me into that one, huh?
But sticking with linebackers for a second, I do think in the spring, we might see Xavier Dixon move to defensive line.
That's fair. We could see that.
As he gets bigger and bigger with the losses that we've had on the defensive line, it would be interesting to see if he moves up and puts his hand in the dirt all the time. What do you think?
I think there's an opportunity. I mean, he plays the jack position, which is supposed to be a little bit of both, you know, coming up to the line or stepping back. You know, we'll play a 3-4, but we'll walk the jack up and really give from a 3-4, we'll give a 4-3 look because we've got the jack coming up and putting his hand down. You know, think of Courtney Upshaw. How many times did he really line up as a defensive end? But because the way we're playing, you know, multiple with our 3-4, you know, he was a linebacker. So he could stay a linebacker and put his hand down every play, but we're still going to brand him a linebacker.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And when you talk about the young pups, man, and things that you want to look for, it is exciting because this time last year, we had high expectations for Duvall, but we also had expectations for Reggie Ragland and Ryan Anderson. And those guys have the makeup to really jump into that inside linebacker and try to seize that door that is cracked at that position.
Yeah, Duvall was just, as the season progressed, he's one of those guys, you know, almost like Mosley in terms of, you know, started to come on late his freshman year, got more and more reps, and the more he played, the more dynamic he looked. I get that there are a little different types of players. I'm just saying in terms of their development and progression. And by the end of the season, man, he looked really good and really comfortable out there and aggressive to the ball and aggressive to, you know, his assignments. I think he's the kind of guy that could really pop this spring. And then you take, you know, Reggie Ragland got some play. I think he's a little more of a rangy player. That's why he's the one that I really picked out.
Right.
I think Ryan Anderson, he's a guy that I've got circled. I thought that he was going to – I thought he might do last year what Duvall did last year. And so, you know, if he comes on, I don't know why he didn't play any more than he did. But, you know, we had, you know, Tyler Hayes and players like that coming in and playing ahead of him, which really I think surprised me.
Yes.
I think Ryan Anderson – you know, maybe we're going to get some report that, you know, he had a foot or something. I don't know.
Ryan Anderson is your Chris Black on offense. If there is a caged guy ready to unload besides Reuben Foster, you would think his name is Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, and it's funny you made the Chris Black comparison because, you know, they have some shared history. Ryan Anderson is the reason Chris Black didn't play. and, you know, hey, and that happens as football practice, but that struck me funny. But yeah, Ryan Anderson, someone at the linebacker position that I'm really looking forward to.
But I could see Duvall stepping into that Xavier Dixon role, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
And I could see Dixon floating down. And so I could see you having Duvall and Hubbard in the outside with Dixon now on the edge to go with a Jeffrey Pagan.
Yep.
And then in the inside, right? It's everybody but Tana Patrick. And so you would think between Ryan Anderson and between Reuben Foster, between Reuben Foster and Ryan Anderson, and then you throw in Ragland, how nice of a problem it is to have three guys, 6'3 and 6'4, 250 pounds that can fight for that position.
Absolutely.
And next to a CJ Mosley to learn from.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm leaving out Trey DePriest, not on purpose, but in the rotation.
Yeah, Trey DePriest, I was going to mention him in the rotation. I don't want to overlook him. But then you take a guy like Dylan Lee, you know, who did play some last year and looks like, you know, he could man the inside a little bit for us. So, again, we have a lot of talent, and most of that talent, Reuben Foster's the exception, most of that talent will be available for spring. So it'll be fun to kind of see how that plays out. And then, you know, just kind of sticking with the linebacker position, I think Adrian Hubbard is the kind of player. I mean, he was good for us last year. He has the opportunity to still, you know, fill out. He still, you know, strikes me as someone that will get bigger on his frame. And when he fills out, I think he still has a lot of his potential ahead of him.
You know who Adrian Hubbard reminds me of at this stage? You know, to your point, do you know who Adrian Hubbard could grow into?
Who's that?
A Keith McCants.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially. I don't know that he gets that big.
But maybe not that big, but big enough.
Yeah.
With the wingspan that he's got and the ability to play in space, et cetera, Adrian Hubbard is a guy that you would expect to pop a little bit in spring.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go maybe more of a Dwayne Rudd, you know, biscuit, but kind of player. But you know, the point is he has an opportunity to still grow and mature into his body and become, you know, a much better player. And, you know, coming into now, we got spring forecasting into the, you know, another off season and preseason drills. You know, we could really see a different player. You know, he may have to go to the equipment manager and get a different, you know, a larger size, you know, shoulder pads and jersey.
Oh, absolutely. What do you think about DePriest? You know, some of the stuff that I was looking at was just commenting about, you know, that DePriest really needs to step it up a little bit. And I don't want to be too hard on him because, you know, he played a lot of minutes last year along with CJ, but he kind of needs to, I don't know really quite how to put this, but the light has not fully come on for Trey like I think it can yet.
I think he has room to get better. Although
I don't mean he's bad. I just think that light coming on more for him can only be a good thing for us. And I don't think he has, like you said, he has not reached his potential yet.
No, I think he still has some upside, but I think he's maybe more of a dirty work linebacker than, you know, making all the big plays. He's got a ton of experience, you know, even though he, you know, was just finished. He'll be a junior entering his junior season, you know, so he's played two seasons, but he's played two seasons.
But last year was his first year as a starter.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But he got a lot of run as a freshman. I think that, you know, he's got a ton of experience. Here's how I would describe him. Almost, you know, not too dissimilar from a Nico Johnson. He has a lower ceiling than some of these other players, but he has a higher floor than some of these players too. He's a solid, you know, workman style, you know, kind of linebacker. You need those types of guys. And he'll make a big play. He'll make some big plays, but you can count on him. He's kind of a glue guy, I guess is what I would say.
Hey, one of the other things that I'm looking at for spring is who is going to be the next Quentin Dial. I think Quentin Dial is going to be like a Brandon Dietrich and or Wallace Gilberry. We're going to appreciate him more and more the longer it's been since he's been here. Who on this current defensive line is going to be the dirty guy, or do the dirty work to set the edge and not put up the big stats, but be able to help us in the running game?
That's a tougher one to pick. You know, maybe a Jeffrey Pagan, you know, maybe a guy that had to sit out last year, Davlin Tomlinson. You know, I understand that he has a motor. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the spring. It sounds like maybe you've got a guy targeted, but I would go Pagan or Tomlinson, you know, just from the go on that question.
No, I don't have one. That's why I'm curious to see who is going to exhibit that skill set in spring and what we're going to be able to see, because it seems like we have guys that are able to put pressure on the quarterback situationally
Yeah.
But we don't have the guys like we lost in Damian Square and Quentin Dial. And I think that, you know, Ed Stinson, thank goodness Ed Stinson is coming back. And Ed Stinson made a huge bit of progress between last year and the year before and last year. And I just hope one of these other guys does the same.
Yeah. And see, Stinson's a guy that kind of, you know, as you unfolded the question, he's the one that I thought about. Now, he led the team in sacks last year, which, you know, probably not many people would guess. He was probably the most underrated player that we had, or one of the more underrated players that we had on defense last year. So he may be one of those guys that, you know, always gives you more than you think than you're getting from him. You know, he may be a guy that, you know, that steps up and makes some plays, but, you know, a Damian Square type player, I don't know, Davlin Tomlinson, you know, maybe a little more athletic, you know, he may be something to see there. I think that a player that just, if he'll flash, he has an opportunity to soar up the depth chart, and that's a LaMichael Fanning. If he kind of plugs in, I think he could be devastating.
He has got to find his power cord. He is not sure where it is currently.
No, and he's, you know, the suplex power, you know, body slam wrestling moves. You know, we can't have that kind of stuff going on. But I think Pagan's a guy that we're going to see continue to develop. You know, he's quietly, you know, he's going to be a junior this year, very quietly. You know, he's entering his third year, but he's a guy that I would love to see, you know, take it to the next level. You know, we raved about him throughout the season. He's another guy that I think has an opportunity to do really good things for us. What do you think about the nose guard position?
Well, now you're reading my notes, because Brandon Ivory will not be the starter.
Okay.
I think Brandon Ivory started to make some plays and get more comfortable as the season progressed. But let me just put it this way. I have not seen enough from him to be comfortable if he is that guy. A Jesse Williams, he is not.
No, he showed some grit against Georgia, and he was playing injured. You know, some reports that, you know, he's coming back really, really in good shape. So, you know, that'll be something to see. You know, I expected more out of Darren Lake last year than what we saw. So, you know, as we sit here now, even before spring, I don't know that I'm comfortable with either of those guys. I would throw Corin Curvin into the mix. He redshirted last year. I mean, it is almost just throw a hat over him, and my, that would be a big hat. But you just throw a hat over him and pick a, you know, pick a name out, and, you know, that's the person who could just as well win the starting job. So that's something that I have down, you know, the battle for nose guard, you know, coming out of spring, who has the upper hand. That's something that I really want to see.
Well, I will tell you that unless one of the freshmen, well, there's three guys that I'm looking at. Number one is, and you've already named him, Davlin Tomlinson. We've heard good things about him. Second of all, I've bought the hype on a Sean Robinson.
Yes.
And I want to see how he plays in there.
He's jumping to the fall, man.
Well, I'm jumping to the fall, but I'm talking about players that I think are going to be that guy. So if I'm going back to spring, I think we see Jeffrey Pagan getting work at the nose, so that if one of these other things don't pan out, Jeffrey Pagan is the guy that we put in there because he's our best option game ready.
And that's a fair point that he could get some run in the middle. You don't see big movement from the white Asian, do you?
No. I think that you could still see, and I know this is going to sound crazy to you, but I think you could still see some experimentation halfway through the spring with Alfonso Taylor on defense.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that. And if you start to see that, I think what the message really is, you know, you just mentioned his name, Alshon Robinson, you know, better come in ready to go. I think that's the message if we move Alphonse from offensive line to DL. Because I think we really do want to groom him as a giant interior offensive lineman.
No, absolutely. Anything else jumps out at you on defensive line?
not on defensive line, but I tell you what, this is a lot of great discussion on defense. I'm going to tell you the one thing. I know how you are. I need you to hear what I'm saying and not what I'm not saying. Our defensive success next year will come down to one question. Can someone other than Vinny win the star position, the nickelback position? And I'm not mad at Vinny playing the position, but when we play, you know, three safeties instead of three corners, when we play a safety nickel instead of a corner nickel, we are much less dynamic on the back end. I think the whole strength of our defense, and I'm being, you know, a little bit, you know, hyperbole here, but I don't think much. I think the strength of our defense, the success of our defense lies on who wins the nickelback position.
I agree with that because we talked in our game analysis on many occasions about how he would get beat. He would get beat, or Nick Perry would get beat against the slot receiver. And Vinny is kind of in no man's land because of all the depth at linebacker and all the upside potential of the Reuben Fosters and the Ryan Andersons and the Raglans, et cetera. And so Vinny, having played linebacker in high school, I think he sees that I can't go there. And so he's going to have to make a place for himself in the secondary. And I think Vinny's place is coming in situationally at the line of scrimmage to put pressure on the back of the offense. And that's what you and I saw that he was very good at. And so the guy that I think will step up and be that guy with HaHa has to be Landon Collins.
Yeah.
I am as excited to see him as I am some of these other players that we've mentioned. I'm excited to see him when it's like, here's the keys to the car, now you go drive.
Absolutely. You know, I'm talking about who's going to be my focus on who's the fifth defensive back. And so that kind of presupposes, and I'm with you, I think it's HaHa and Landon Collins at the two safeties. And I think it's Deep Blue and Geno Smith at the two cornerbacks. And so who becomes the nickel? And
let me answer that question for you then. Hopefully it's a Jarrett Williams.
Well, see, there you go. That's, you know, he might be a little more athletic than Vinny, but, you know, that's putting it in the hands of another safety. And maybe that is the answer. But we have been, you know, Geno last year at the second half of the season was, I think our defense was much improved when he got some run and got comfortable at that star position. You know, you think of years past when Javi would move down and play that position, or Menzi made a career of playing that position. We were so much more dynamic on the back end with cornerbacks at that position than we are with, you know, than we are with a safety. But when I look at our roster and I think, well, is that John Fulton? He doesn't strike me as that kind of player. If it's Fulton, then what we'll do is we'll do what we did with Javi, where Javi's the starting cornerback. When we go to nickel, he slides down to star and the guy off the bench plays the corner. And so if we do Fulton, if Fulton's the guy, that's what we'll do. And Geno will be the star, and Fulton will just go play, you know, kind of the corner opposite of Blue. Does Jabril Washington, you know, kind of step up and do something? Or are we going to have to look for one of these freshmen that's coming in, which, again, that's not the spring because they're not here. So to me, this is a critical question. I think it's a really critical question is who comes in and plays that star position.
Well, you know, I don't want to sell Fulton short because Fulton came on toward the end of the season, just like Geno did. Fulton was thrust into a difficult situation, and I think Fulton showed in those late games that he was becoming more comfortable in that man on an island cornerback coverage.
That's in what you're saying is exactly what my intention. He might be the fifth DB, but he would come in as the fifth DB, but not occupy the star position. He would
occupy the
corner. And then Geno, who I thought was very good at the star position last year, and we did that with Javi a couple of years ago. Javi would play the corner when we were playing, you know, a true four, you know, our, I guess what Saban calls our base with four DBs. He would play the corner. When we would bring in a nickelback, a fifth DB, that cornerback, that nickelback would come in and take Javi's position, and Javi would step down into the star. And so he was one of the four DBs, but then he played the nickelback, if that makes sense. And so if it's Fulton, that's what I think we would do. He would go in and take Geno's spot, and then Geno would come down to the star. Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. And
I'm not trying to sell Fulton short. I just don't know who does it. And I know
Brad Silvey, you know, was a highly touted wide receiver from Louisiana that, you know, he got moved over there because the depth at wide receiver and because he runs a 4.4. Yeah. And so he's a guy that, you know, has been in the program a couple years, and you never know. You might see him flash in the spring because maybe, you know, he's now had a year under his belt on that side of the ball to get the playbook down.
Sure. He's another one that would strike me, you know, because of his speed is sort of what he trades on. He strikes me as, you know, would also come in and play the cover corner.
But let me also say that, you know, this is a big concern for Saban. And so when you look at last year's class for a second, what jumps out at me from last year's class is Rivals had 3 5 stars in their rating system in our recruiting class. One of those 5 stars was TJ Yeldon. The other one was Landon Collins, mm-hmm. who ran a 4.4. The other one was Eddie Williams.
Yep.
Eddie Williams, who was a athlete in the categories.
Yes.
Was the number one ranked athlete in the nation coming out of high school. And so that tells you what Saban thought of that position, right? That he took the number one recruiting athlete in the country and moved him to that side of the ball. And so he was trying to get help, to your point, at the star position, in my opinion, from a player who was highly talented as an athlete.
And you make a great point, and I don't want to spend too much time on, you know, the bonehead four, but a lot of folks, a lot of fans will say, well, those guys didn't play. They were just backups, da-da-da-da-da, so we're not going to miss them. But I'm actually making a point of emphasis that this star position is critical to our defensive development. And when you describe a player like N.A. Williams, he starts
or Travell Dixon.
Well, less Travell because he's been out. You know, he was just here for a weekend pass, it seemed like. But Eddie Williams is like, you know, gosh, maybe that's the perfect athletic star position player.
Exactly.
And so, you know.
Now you don't have that person, right?
Now you don't have him. And so because we've never had him, people won't know to miss him.
Yes. Yes.
So that'd be my thing there. And I want to be very careful. You and I have approached Vinny from different, you know, lines of sight. I think we've kind of landed on a very similar, you know, thought process on him. I really like him as a player. I'm just, and so maybe I shouldn't use his name because, you know, it sounds like I'm throwing dirt on him. I'm talking about having, you know, a nickel, a safety nickel as opposed to a corner nickel is really what I'm getting at. And so when we can bring in another cornerback, I just think we're more dynamic.
I think another way to word that is, when we bring that fifth DB on the field to cover in space, that is not his strongest skill set. But when we can bring a dime with 6 in the game, 3 corners and 3 safeties, I'd love him to be that third safety.
Sure. Right. Because I like the flexibility that he does give near the line of scrimmage, you know, to play the run, to blitz. You know, I really like him as a spur linebacker. And we talked about, well, who's the next CJ Mosley? You know, maybe Vinny's a poor man CJ Mosley, because for a linebacker, he is very athletic. For a safety, less so.
Yeah, covering in space would still be a challenge, but I see what you mean. But
you're not asking a linebacker to cover in space quite the same way you are a safety.
Sure. And I guess another thing that I will throw out there is there will be other. I think of all the positions, I think the tight end and the star are the two most important. Offensive line first, star second, tight end third.
I think for, look, you have to have a quarterback and you have to have somebody run the ball. You have to have receivers. You have to have a line. I get every position is important. I think the nugget that you're going for is in the uniqueness of what Saban does. The tight end / H-back is sort of that pivot position on offense, and that, you know, kind of that star nickelback is maybe the pivot position in what Saban does on defense.
Yes.
All right. Very good. I've read Tommy's mind.
There's a first time for everything.
That's a dangerous place to be, folks.
Anything else on defense that you're looking for?
That, you know, I think we hit a lot of bases there and a lot.
I do have one more. I want to interrupt you. I got one more.
Bring it.
And it qualifies as spring. Besides C.J. Mosley, I'm also intrigued to see Jai Miller.
Ah, okay. There's a player.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a player that some listeners might not remember, but he kind of spurned us at the last minute to go to Stanford. And
well,
I'm interested
to play baseball. He went to play baseball.
Well, but he had committed to Stanford on signing day, did the little cap switcheroo thing. And I'm interested to see how the 28-year-old does on campus. He was a very talented player coming out of high school. And I'm just curious to see, you know, there's a method to his madness. And he obviously thinks he can bring something to the table. So I'm interested to see what that is.
I think, you know, and that's fair. He may be a fun experiment to kind of see, you know, how he plays out. He's the kind of guy, you know, that could also maybe get some run at that nickel position and see, and, you know, come in and just learn this. And, you know, you're a little bit older guy, so, you know, you got to kind of get back to used to playing football. But, you know, maybe you can, you know, count on his maturity to come in and learn that position as essentially a first-year guy. I mean, he's a 27, 28-year-old freshman. So, yeah, I think that's definitely an interesting player to watch during the spring. So I definitely agree with that. Anything else you got for us on defense?
Yeah, who's going to be your impact player on defense, man, in spring? Who's going to pop?
Yeah, I think I've maybe already kind of teased this, but I think Denzel DePaul.
Okay. You think he's going to be the splash player?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he was in – he earned more and more time in the rotation last year. I think he may be one of those guys, you know, that we find ourselves asking, how do we get him on the field more?
Okay.
Not just in the rotation, like, oh yeah, okay, he's back in, I feel good that he's in, but no, how do we get this guy in the field, in the game more? We need more, you know, I need more cowbell. I need more Denzel DePaul.
Okay. That's fair.
How about you?
You know, I am really kind of struggling between two players in this position. So I'm going to go with my first, and it's not just like Duvall, he's been out there, but I think it's going to have to be Hubbard.
Okay.
I think Hubbard is going to make some more very athletic plays that is going to bring some additional athleticism to the field that, you know, that we see with CJ. I think we're going to see some CJ traits in the spring from Adrian Hubbard.
Well, that's exciting that, you know, we take one of our starters who it would have been a bad decision, but he did at least entertain the thought of going pro. And so you take someone that's performing at that, you know, at that level, that he still has enough offside to say, I really still want to see him pop. That's impressive. And we've kind of talked about it. If he sort of grows into his body and his athleticism, boy, he's going to be a good one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Anything else on defense, or do you think we cover our bases?
I think I'm good, man.
Man, I can't wait for spring practice to get going, to see the practice reports come out and the player movement and shifts. And those are always fun to watch. The personnel groupings, as it were. So we're getting into a real exciting, fun time of year. And so we're glad that you tuned in, stuck with us, and have an opportunity to share us just kind of talking football, which is something that I think we do. I probably do it better than I do anything else. And so
I will agree with that totally.
So I'm glad we have the opportunity to do that. Hey, just, you know, kind of two things as we're wrapping here. At the time of this recording, you know, Mal, you know, Coach Moore is, you know, still hospitalized, being treated. So our thoughts and prayers kind of, you know, go out to him and his family and such. And so, keeping a close eye on that situation. When you listen to this, there may have been a development, but, you know, at the time of recording, we're certainly thinking about him. And then just, you know, something much less significant than that, but something that we put out in the last podcast was that, Tom and I are entertaining the idea of doing a premium show, pregame show for each of the games next season. We kind of need a minimum kind of commitment before we do that, just because the time and expense cost factors that we experience in putting this out. Everything that we do for free will continue to be free. This would be something new and come with a premium cost. You can sign up before the season, about $10 for the season. So it's not not a big expense, but we need a probably get a minimum number of commitments to that before we sign up. So right now, just go to the website, alabamafootballpodcast.com. Go to the contact page. Just drop us a little note saying, yeah, I'd be interested in doing that. If we meet a little bit of a threshold there, then we'll put some wheels in motion to make that happen and give you an opportunity to execute on that. But, that said, we're very excited about spring drills. We covered offense in our last show, defense in this show. Can't wait to get the spring practice started. So this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.